This year, we will be reading and hearing Luke's version of the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. When I was growing up, everyone knew that this Sunday before Easter was called Palm Sunday. But sometime between then and now, however, Presbyterians, and I would suspect probably most mainline denominations that follow the liturgical church calendar, also started designating the Sunday before Easter as Passion Sunday. Well, the emphasis of Palm Sunday, of course, is to commemorate Jesus' jubilant entry into the city of Jerusalem, which we later learn turns out to be the last week of his life. And this story, which is recorded in all four Gospels, is basically an enactment of the Old Testament prophetic poem from Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Today's gospel reading, therefore, is the story that announces the fulfillment of that prophecy and that the new era of God's rule has dawned. This is such a joy-filled story. So why muddy the waters by introducing the theme of Passion Sunday, the story of Jesus' suffering and death? Well, the answer can most likely be found in the scenario of, say, a church committee somewhere deciding that not enough people were attending the Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday services of worship. Therefore, most church-going folks simply jumped from the hosannas of Palm Sunday directly into the celebration of the resurrection at Easter. Why bother with all the grisly and gory details of a crucifixion and all that stuff in between? Well, perhaps the best explanation I've ever read came from just this week, an article by Jill Duffield, the editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, and she writes, "I can imagine how it felt to be Jesus' closest friends and followers when the world bowed at his feet, threw cloaks in his path, and sang songs of his greatness. I recognize this kind of victorious faith, and I worry too often we contemporary Christians stop at Palm Sunday, or forget what happens later in the week. Palm Sunday praises, devoid of the passion, make for a hollow, dangerous religion. When we fail to keep following Jesus the next day, and the next and the next, all the way to the cross, we envision a Christianity synonymous with winning, rather than a faith that requires vulnerable love and sacrifice. Unlike our current political climate, with its obsession with so much winning, as well as a very large part of Christianity itself today, living a life dedicated to following the ways and teachings of Jesus is not about winning. That's triumphalism, not the gospel. Rather, biblical Christianity is about the often difficult ways of love and service, of forgiveness and redemption. So Passion Sunday, therefore, is meant to remind us of Jesus' journey to the cross, his execution at the hands of those whose power he questioned and threatened. So preachers, like myself, face the decision each and every year at this time. Focus on the palms or focus on the passion? Maybe a little bit of both. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. That's not really so secret. Taking a cue primarily from the hymns we sing and the music we hear played on the organ, our service of worship each year on this Sunday is structured to remember the palms at the beginning of the service, to remembering the cross by the end of the service, to make that transition. Why not? Isn't it best to cover all of our bases? So, what will the theme of this sermon be on this year? Well, I'm going to just go ahead and make an assumption that all of you will be attending the Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday services. And yes, I know what they say about what happens when you make assumptions. But that will free me up this morning to spend a little more time on the joyous entry into Jerusalem story. So like a well-constructed symphony, I'll concentrate on the first movement today and let the full symphony play out throughout Holy Week, concluding with the final dramatic movement on Easter Sunday. Now, over the years, I have primarily focused on the theme of expectations, mentioning that Palm Sunday is a celebration of the expectations of the Jewish people in the crowd that day that they had for this teacher and prophet named Jesus of Nazareth. And I've then spent time reflecting on what those historic expectations were for a Messiah. And then within a short 5-day period of time, the crowd who joyously shouted Hosanna would scream out, "Crucify him," when they realized that Jesus did not measure up to their expectations. And this has always led into a good conversation of what happens when your expectations and mine aren't met. That includes the expectations that we have of ourselves, as well as of others. And though worth reminding ourselves of that important conversation that we need to have with ourselves and others, that's not going to be the primary focus this morning. Instead, there is one particular element of this story that hit me this week to which I have never paid that much attention. Before entering Jerusalem, Luke tells us that when Jesus arrived at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples on to a nearby village to look for a colt that had never been ridden. And they are told to untie it and to bring it to Jesus. But Jesus also instructs them that if anyone asks them, "Why are you untying it?" to simply tell them, "The Lord needs it." The Lord needs it is the deposit, the payment, and the collateral for taking the donkey. So here's the question that I'd like for each of us to take away this year on Palm Sunday. What does Jesus ask you to give because he has need of it? Have you ever reflected on the fact that in the realm and kingdom of God, you are needed? Needed to help carry on the work and ministry and the way of life begun by Jesus. So what is it that you possess that is needed by God to help fulfill these tasks? Our own John Calvin, to whom we Presbyterians trace our roots back 500 years, would most likely answer the question this way. What does Jesus need? Everything you have and everything you are is needed. If you have a donkey, maybe that's what's needed. But what about your generosity? Your intelligence, your musical or artistic ability, the ability to work with your hands, your caring and compassionate spirit, your wisdom, your zeal and passion for social justice. Listen to that still small voice within you, or perhaps that voice that comes from a loved one or a pastor that says, the Lord needs it. What might that be today? What might that be tomorrow or the next day? What can you give of yourself when the Lord needs it? Well, here's a note addressed from God to us, written by Steve Garnas Holmes, that might help. My dear one, your heart, your time, your prayer, your imagination, your faith and your doubt, I need it. Your thoughts, your voice, the way you treat strangers, I need it. I need your presence where there is hurt. I need your risk in loving those who are hard to love. I need your vulnerability in caring for what is heartbreaking. Your hope in the dawn long before the dawn comes. I need you to convey me into the city, to bear me into people's hearts. You, donkey, plain, ordinary, and waiting. You are what I need. Listen, I have sent my servants to untie you. Amen.